You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the Labor Party.
A new police base has been announced in the Auckland CBD from 2025. Police Commissioner Richard Chambers says it will be operating 24/7, public-facing, and will allow police to be easily deployed across the city. However, the funding for the police base has come out of a budget earmarked for recruitment. The extent of the cost for the station has not been publicly disclosed, as Police Minister Mark Mitchell says this information is commercially sensitive. Public transport prices may increase by 70% to hit higher council revenue targets. The fare increase is expected to hit Te Whanganui Atara Wellington, as well as Tāmaki Makaurau Auckland and Ōtātahi Christchurch to an unknown extent. And the Ministry of Health has released an evidence brief on the use of puberty blockers to treat gender dysphoria. Coalition government partners New Zealand First and ACT publicly responded to the brief with misleading and anti-trans comments. For our weekly catch-up with the Labour Party, I asked Shannon Halbert, spokesperson for Auckland and Rainbow Issues, about all of these topics. I started by asking if he supports a new Federal Street police station.
Absolutely, I support the opening of the new station. I think it's something that local Aucklanders in the CBD have wanted for a very long time. It's important to remember that that station was closed under the last national government, and I guess my concern now is that is this going to be a home for more police? And on top of that, we are experiencing cuts to the police force and funding of $108 million announced recently, and so I'm concerned that we might be getting rid of some of the administrative support staff that have been in there. We might be putting some of the police numbers from other parts of Auckland in there, but overall we're not seeing an increase in the number of police on the beat, but the station itself is a good thing.
So is it an appropriate use of funds?
Well, it's certainly something that that the community have wanted for a long time. Any infrastructure office like that is an expensive piece of infrastructure. I think it's important that we do have a base and that people can easily access the station itself. That was the concern, as people didn't know where to go when they had an issue. I think modern systems really enable people to use things like 0800 numbers and the websites to lodge the issues and incidents that they do experience. So, my preference personally is that money would be going into frontline staff. I'm concerned about the $108 million cut that we are experiencing there. But, the community has called for a police station at the same time, and I accept that.
Is this part of a need to improve overall safety in the Auckland CBD?
Well, some of the initiatives, both when we were in government and leading into today under Minister Mitchell, we've seen increased police on the beat. Those numbers, for example, have included police coming from my community in the North Shore to cover Auckland CBD. We have seen a difference. We've seen crime rates come down in Auckland CBD, but we've actually seen them go up in other parts of Auckland. So it demonstrates the need to have more police overall. I want to see a real commitment from this government to achieving that. They're not yet, and they've got to get on with recruiting more police and training them up and getting them on the front line.
And what is the potential impact of a surge in public transport pricing?
Oh, I'm really concerned about that increase. Under Labor, we had half price for under 24 and free for under 12 public transport. That made a huge difference to the accessibility of our system. Parents enabling young people and their children to be able to use that system at low or no cost. And we're really going backwards in that sense. In a city like ours, we need public transport that needs to be reliable and affordable for people to be able to use it. One less car on the road, is one less car that's congesting our city, and we've got to really front up to the realities of that. So it's a backward step when we start to increase fees for the average Aucklander year on year.
What is the reason for this price surge?
Well, my view is that, we've seen almost $600 million cut from Auckland's public transport network as an example. Local council, has to generate revenue in order to maintain their current services. but also invest in the areas that we know we need to improve that reliability. And so in Auckland alone, you know, the increase in those costs will impact particularly on young people, on vulnerable people, people that are having to make a decision between a bus fare to go to work or a loaf of bread. You know, those are the things that are really concerning that I just don't think that this government cares about. And it's a backwards step in my view.
Should central government be working with local government to address this?
Absolutely. Partnership between central and local government is really, really important. The ATAP plan, of course, is in place. That's something that has been now been in place for a long time. It's a starting point for how local and central government work together. You know, but we need to push forward to look at the city deals, understanding what's going to unlock Auckland. I'm concerned on some of the major transport infrastructure projects that have been put on hold or were unclear on what's going to happen to them. The Auckland, the Second Harbour Crossing, light rail has been cancelled. Some of the bus improvements, bus shelter improvements across the network have been put on hold as an action from this government where they've repealed and haven't replaced anything with an alternative plan. So to move forward with this government's plan, which is a roads-only plan, is detrimental to Auckland, and then we start hiking up the fees for those people who are using public transport. It's just not acceptable.
And what have we learnt from the Ministry of Health evidence brief on puberty blockers?
We've learnt that there's more work to do, like any medicine or medicine that's in place in Aotearoa New Zealand. There has to be a process to understand it better, to improve the science of it itself. I was really concerned about the comments that both Winston Peters and the ACT Party made. They were misleading in my view. I've said that publicly because what that meant is that the Ministry of Health had to quite quickly put out a statement to say, no, actually, puberty blockers are still available for children and young people. They are still supported by interdisciplinary care teams, and it does involve the whānau and families. So, you know, so it's a mistruth coming there. We see that globally. I don't want that here in New Zealand. I stand, and Labor stands, for ensuring that all of our rangatahi are able to be who they are, and that with whānau and medical support that they're able to go through the transition that they wish to.
Is this rhetoric from ACT and New Zealand First harmful to LGBTQ communities?
It's certainly harmful to our rainbow community. It's misinformation that they have put out there because they say that, you know, that these aren't going to be available, there's going to be a stop to them, which creates a panic for families that are already involved in the process. But also, again, it tells people that this thing is wrong. It's not wrong. It's a way to enable our children and young people to be who they are with the support of their family and with the support of medical professionals.
Is it concerning that ACT, who has been supportive of trans communities in the past, is now spreading harmful misinformation?
Yes, ACT has really surprised me in their approach to this, and it really just tells me that they're just simply in it for the politics. There is a, you know, really clear anti-trans group that has grown in New Zealand and offshore. And so ACT is just trying to compete with New Zealand First in the sense to pull some of that vote. That is incredibly concerning, particularly for an Associate Minister of Education, David Seymour, when the needs of our children and young people are at the heart of this.
And does Labor commit to supporting access to puberty blockers for trans rangatahi?
Labor's always supported our trans community and rainbow community. We will continue the work that we started, which is ensuring that access is available for children and young people with the right interdisciplinary support and whānau support to ensure that that child can be who they want to be.
That was Shannon Halbert, Labor spokesperson for Auckland and Rainbow Issues, on the new Auckland CBD police station, a potential surge in public transport pricing, and the Ministry of Health evidence brief on puberty blockers for our weekly catch-up with the Labor Party.
That was our weekly chat with the Labor Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.